All right, well, we're going to get started tonight. You can take your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter 13. And, you know, that song by Brandon Lake, Praise Him Anywhere, it was so great. I actually copied the words. I was kind of reading them along. I guess I had a little advance warning of that. But the first stanza says, sometimes you got to dance through the darkness, sing through the fire. Praise when it don't make sense. Sometimes you got to stare down the giant. Worship from the lion's den. Sometimes you got to shout it from the mountain, louder in the valley, trusting that he's going to get you there. Sometimes you got to welcome the wonder, wait for the answer, worship with your hands in the air. And I thought, you know, I think this is a great subject to delve into here for a little bit tonight and kind of get us moving in a certain direction where we have a greater recognition that praise is one of the greatest tools we have. Mm-hmm. I always remember a statement Joyce Meyer made about praise, where she said, it confuses the enemy. And I've always loved that because, you know, we may get set up in situations and circumstances and different things and what have you, but you know, the enemy, our adversary, he's not expecting us to turn around and give thanks and give praise and just rejoice no matter what's going on. And so I've entitled this sharing tonight, What's in Your Tool Chest? And actually, I added a word later. I said, what's missing in your tool chest? You know, because all of us have tools somewhere, mostly guys, I guess, but you ladies, I'm sure, have access to tools too, you know, hammers and screwdrivers and Allen wrenches and a variety of other things, little things that snip wires, and maybe you've got some zip ties and duct tape and, I don't know, a lot of different things. I'm like,
scissors.
Scissors. So scissors are really good. Some heavy duty scissors. But as many of you can testify, you've probably been doing a project and you come up against a situation where you do not have the tool or the material or something available to you. Now, fortunately, there are places like Home Depot, Ace Hardware, Lowe's, that sort of thing. And sometimes we get to know those people on a first name basis, I think. But, you know, our spiritual tool chest, we got a lot of things going on in there. We got the nine manifestations. We've got fruit of the Spirit, which Ken has been teaching on so wonderfully here, especially this last week on Tuesday. It's just so beautiful. And that we don't have to really work at it. To use that great example of he and Darlene going out to the fruit trees and beating on them with baseball bats trying to get them to produce more. Well, I think we've come to find out, and we're still realizing this, that it's not about us. It's about what the Spirit of Christ within us has given to us, and fruit can just be falling all off of us all over the place. And I coined an acronym about praise a number of months ago, P-R-A-I-S-E. You can turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 13. I don't know if I said that or not. But P-R-A-I-S-E. And what I thought that indicated to me was that that's our proper response always in situations everywhere. P-R-A-I-S-E. Our proper response in every situation, every circumstance, every good thing, every not so good thing. You know, there's a lot of ups and downs in life, and things come and things go and things don't come sometimes, or things come that we don't really expecting. And those can be the most challenging when they come unexpectedly and they just kind of slap us around a lot. And so maybe something good to stay mindful of in terms of our spiritual weaponry is that praise can certainly be right at the top of the list. If I remember correctly, it seems to me that is one of the things that really took the enemy down in the third of the angels, is that he was so jealous and wanting praise and worship. Well, let's look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Because, you know, we've got a lot of things we do in our life. We read, we study, we spend time in prayer. We serve in various functions in different capacities in the church. Everybody has, you know, a place here, a place there, or maybe you don't feel like you have a place. But at the root of all these things and the foundation, you know, I think praise can play a very, very integral role in allowing these things to come into greater fruition. So let's talk about verse 15 of Hebrews 13. And the New King James says, "Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." That's a quotation actually from the Old Testament. But, you know, in these days and times, we don't really give sacrifices, so to speak, like they did in the Old Testament days. But this is a great verse that we would, by our free will, offer those praises to God. And it says it's the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You know, praise is really a heartfelt recognition that God knows what he's doing. Somebody once said that, why don't we just let God be God? God knows what he's doing. He doesn't need our assistance. I think sometimes we get in the way, and we're just going to take on as much as we possibly can. But I think it's just good to remember that God wants us to be dependent on him and to rely on him. And he really enjoys that as much as any father would enjoy that with their child. I want to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, start in verse 16. These are such simple, beautiful verses, and yet so practical. Verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, "Rejoice always." You know what? You don't need a lot of biblical interpretation to understand what that's saying. Rejoice when?
Always.
Well, what does that mean? Always. And we could also say it means all, maybe in all ways, but rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You want to know what the will of God is for you in Christ Jesus? There you go. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Hey, that seems like a simple thing to be able to accomplish in the course of the day. But yet, we have to consciously be able to make that decision day by day to really not get distracted by all the this and that and the news and YouTube and a zillion other things, playing this and that and going somewhere. And just to remember to incorporate this into our lifestyle. Because it's going to really bring some wonderful blessings and some wonderful benefits. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3, chapter 4, I'm sorry, Philippians chapter 4, and in verse 4. I may be a little repetitive here. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord," what?
Always.
Again, I will say, rejoice. Hey, I think God's trying to make a point here. He mentions it twice in one verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. You know, it's so easy to get kind of down and out and, you know, all, you know, bummed out kind of because of all the news and the different things that are happening and going on. But, you know, we want to do those things that are going to keep us in contact with God. You and I have had the privilege of learning so much of the scriptures and being introduced to the spiritual enablements that we have. And we know that one of the best ways, one of the perfect ways to offer praise and thanksgiving is by way of speaking in tongues. You know, honestly, there are other ways to give praise and thanksgiving to God, but we can speak in tongues. We can speak in tongues. And we have to habitually remind ourselves, I think, that we can do that more and more and more and more. Look at Psalm 100. I think you've heard of that one before, haven't you? Psalm 100, we sing that as a toe-tapping, hand-clapping song. And in Psalm 100, there's some great verse here. Oh, they're all great. I love this song. But in verse 4 it says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise." You know, that's kind of a good mindset. That's a good place to be. And, hey, we do it whether we feel like doing it or not. Because, you know, many times we may not feel like praising. But, you know, we wrap our head around it. We remind ourselves of what God says, the benefits of it. And because we love God, and you know what, we don't have all the answers for everything anyway. So why agonize and put yourself through that when you know, the praise part connects us to God. It gets our minds off of ourselves and off our problems and all the issues of life and just does what really, really blesses God. Psalm 22. And we're going to go to verse 3. The New King James reads it, "But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel." Another translation says, God inhabits the praises of his people. Yeah. That just sets this environment for things to really be fertile and to just allow us to really be free in our hearts and in our minds, just to let go and let God and just, "Hey, God, I can't figure it all out, but I know you're smarter than I am." And, you know, however you formulate those words, I don't know exactly. But praise gets our focus on where it needs to be. And that's certainly not on us. It's certainly not on our problems. It's not on the opportunities, past, present, or future. Yeah, there's life, things we have to deal with in life. I mean, otherwise you probably wouldn't be living where you're living if you didn't pay attention to some of those things. But I'm talking in the greater picture. It gets our focus on where it really needs to be, on God. And he's just given us that gift to be able to exercise this right and this privilege as often as we choose to. Let's go to another one in Psalm. Oh, yeah, you'll love this one. Psalm 150, that is the last verse in the book of Psalms. And what it says is, "Let everything that hath breath do what? Praise the Lord." Praise the Lord. Does that put a condition on it? Does it say only when you go to fellowship, only when you go to church, only at night, only in the morning, only when you read? No. No, 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 1,000 times no. No matter what, no matter how, no matter when, why, or where, it says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." And man, I can't think of a more honorable, a more worthy endeavor to do for any of us or all of us than to praise God. You know, there's a lady, Corrie Ten Boom. Many of you have heard of her. She wrote a book called The Hiding Place. She was enslaved in a German concentration camp, and many of you are familiar with her story. And if not, I'd recommend maybe being a little more familiar. It's a very inspiring testimony. But she made this statement that said, faith is when you praise God in the storm, you trust him in the valley, and you follow him in the dark. You know, those are the most difficult and challenging times for us to look elsewhere and to find other types of, I guess, what we would call relief, things that would get our minds off of those things. And they come in a variety of forms and ways in the world in which we live, as you know. But we have to learn to continue to praise God even when we're not in the good times. You're in the storms of life. Casting Crowns did a great song called Praise You in the Storm. And that we trust him in the valley and we follow him even when things look bleak. Even when we don't know exactly where God is taking us, we still look to trust him. Amen? Because I'm reminded of that verse, and you've heard it many times, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, it's a great church quotation, great thing to talk and put on a picture and everything else like that, but boy, when it comes right down to it and the rubber meets the road, that becomes a very practical reality in each and every one of our lives at some point in time. You know, I really, like I mentioned earlier, I really enjoy Joyce Myers and some of the things that she has said. And I've got a quotation here sitting in front of me that says, when we complain about our current situation, we remain in it. When we praise God in the midst of difficulty, he raises us out of it. And for me, for you, I think that's exactly the type of lifestyle that we want to live. You can see countless records throughout the book of Acts where the believers praised God as a lifestyle, and God brought great deliverance. This is a wonderful subject that tracks itself all the way through God's word, and you could teach this subject. You could think of many different records. You know, Paul and Silas in prison, what did they do? They sang. And they sang praise, they praised God, see? And all of a sudden, boom, they got set free, right? In Acts chapter 2, after the day of Pentecost, it says the believers were together, fellowshipping together and praising God, and the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved, right? So there is no pit that is so deep that God's love is not deeper still. I don't care what you've done, what kind of mistakes you've made, what sort of realities have come into your world or not come into your world. We learn to praise God through the good times and the bad times. And it's a beautiful thing. And it's one of the most productive and wonderful things we can do. And, you know, maybe that's missing in our tool chest. Maybe it's missing in your tool chest. Maybe it's missing in mine. Maybe it's in there, I just don't ever take it out and use it. So this is, I think, so much in taking the time. You guys are wonderful believers and God's people, and so thankful for each and every one of you. So Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your love and grace and goodness, Father, that you continue to bestow upon all of us, and that may the days of our lives be filled with thanksgiving and praise to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.